It's the 14th day of May, 2017, the year of our Lord at Zion Baptist Church. The world is celebrating Mother's Day today. We celebrate the Lord's Day. Every Christian Sabbath, we celebrate the Lord's Day. And it's not that we don't honor our mothers today, we do. But Christian people honor their mothers every day.
Amen.
It's what the Scripture says for us to do, and that's what we do. And we don't pick out a particular day of the year to do that because we have been failing to honor them on every day. Probably not going to ever get it down to 68, even though it's trying. I know a fella, a son, who has not seen his mother in months, nor talked to her in months, but today is going to wine and dine and do all that he can for his mother. He'll answer for that. Christian people honor their mother every day. And that's all we'll say about that. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 14 is where we'll be speaking from today. The title of the message is, Thou Worm, Jacob. And the subtitle is, What Every Mother Should Teach Her Children. Thou Worm, Jacob. Isaiah 41 and 14. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Our God, we pray your mercy and your blessings upon the reading of your word today, that it would be beneficial to your people. O God, that you would help us and illuminate your word and enlighten us. O God, that we may see the truth of thy word today. Help your servant as he tries to feed your sheep and your lambs. Have mercy upon us, O God. We ask it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. What a great and a glorious promise this is from our Lord that he will help us. What strength we should draw from this promise, for the promises of the Lord are yea and amen, and can be counted on and depended upon. We can even remind the Lord in our weakness of His promises, even though He needs no reminding, even though we often do. And that's the reason that we would remind the Lord of His promises, is because of our own weakness. But first we must realize and see ourselves for what we really are. Thy worm, Jacob. He's actually talking to the church here. When he says Jacob, he's talking to the church. He's talking to all those men of Israel that are chosen in him before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Those are the ones he's talking to because he says, and thy Redeemer. And the Lord only redeems those that He chose before the foundation of the world. Those are who the Lord would die for, the Holy One of Israel. God will not elevate His servants to be of any use to Him until He has broken them and caused them to see themselves for what they really are. Worms. We must be reminded from time to time, because of the sin of pride swelling up in us like a cancer, that we are nothing and that He is everything.
Amen.
John 15:5 says, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Amen.
Those are the words of our Lord and Savior. And in verse Well, the English words for without me, where he says at the end of that verse, for without me, ye can do nothing. The English words for without me in Greek means severed from me. A branch of a tree can only live as long as it abides, is attached to the tree. If severed, it dies and is cast into the fire to be burned. So it says in the next verse, verse 6 of the same chapter, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Have you ever considered how weak and vulnerable a worm is? That's what we're called here in Isaiah 41:14. They can be crushed by just about anything or anyone. A limb falling from a tree can take their life. Small children can step on them and crush them. They are nothing. Matthew 13, we see a picture of them and of ourselves. Let's read a little in Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. We'll start reading there at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. That's the way we're going to start doing here at Zion. I'm going to sit and y'all going to stand the whole time. That way I'll be like my Lord. He sat and they stood. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And others fell in good ground, and brought forth fruit, and some 100, and some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah the prophet, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily, verily, I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now you see that even the fowls of the air can take a worm and destroy it. And we are called worms there in Isaiah 41:14. And that wicked one is the worm, is the fowl, and he comes and takes away that which has been sown in the heart of those that do not understand. He said, blessed are ye if you hear and understand. We learn from many stories of our forefathers in the Old Testament that the Lord is not going forward with those who go in their own strength. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by our strength, it's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord. We'll serve the Lord on His terms and on His conditions, or He will never accept our service. Even though He may use it to accomplish His will, it will not be counted to us. Nothing must become our middle name. The fowls of the air snatch away worms at will, so the devil goes about snatching away the word from those that have no root in themselves. We must learn to see ourselves as our glorious King styled Himself in Proverbs 22:6, a worm and not a man. God used Moses, David, and Solomon in great and mighty ways, but not before each of them asked Him and saw themselves as nothing. They each asked, "Who am I?" Let's look at Exodus 3:11. And he said, "Who told thee that thou?" Well, if I'd get in Exodus instead of Genesis, I was about to read where the Lord asked Adam and Eve, "Who told you you were naked?" That same old serpent that goes around and catches away, that same wicked one that catches away that which has been planted in the heart. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" See, Moses understood that he was nothing. He was a worm. He was nobody. And who was he? And in 1 Chronicles 17:16, David, the same way. And David the king came and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is mine house that thou hast brought me hitherto?" David understood that he also was nothing. And in the 29th chapter of the same book, in verse 14, so Solomon, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Solomon was a very wise man, wasn't he?
Amen.
He asked of God to give him wisdom, and he did. And here he says, "But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Because all that we're giving you, God, is what you've given us. We're offering you what's been given to us. We have nothing else to offer. Who are we? We're nothing. We're nobody. We're worms." The Lord will and must empty us of self before He fills us with Himself.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers ought to be teaching their children, instead of what psychologists and psychiatrists is teaching them today, that you ought to have great self-esteem, that you're nothing, and that you're worms.
Amen.
And you can do nothing without the Lord Jesus. We can't even breathe without Him. You say, "Well, preacher, the whole world of sinners hate the true and the living God, the God of the Holy Scriptures, and they breathe only because He gives it to them, and that for His own purpose and for His glory. You say, what? How's the Lord getting glory from the wicked and those that hate Him? Proverbs 16:4 says, "The Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil." Everything brings the Lord glory. Isaiah 40:17 is where we get the start of what is in Isaiah 41:14. It says, "All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then," verse 18 says, "will ye liken God? And what likeness will ye compare unto Him?" We're nothing before God. All the nations of the earth are as nothing and less than nothing and vanity before our God. To whom then will ye liken God? And what likeness will ye compare unto Him? My power is limited. His is not. My days are numbered. His is not. I know some things, but He knows all things.
Amen.
We are nothing. Charles Spurgeon once said, "As well might a gnat seek to drink in the ocean as a finite creature to comprehend the eternal God."
Right.
We need to see ourselves for what we are. We need to try to see God for what He is. He is eternal. He is everlasting. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. Oh, brethren, but we, Jacob, the church, the called of the elect, have a promise. "I will help thee." That in itself ought to let us know that we are nothing and we can do nothing without Him. And He tells the church, "I will help thee." 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." That's the Apostle Paul telling the church at Corinth that we're nothing. We have of our own sufficiency nothing. That we should think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." In other words, in this fleshly life that we live, and of this vessel of clay that we have, we do not war in the Christian inner man and in the Christian fight. We do not war after the flesh. Verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." They're not fleshly, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're mighty through God. Our weapons are only mighty through God, not fleshly. We're nothing in our flesh. In our flesh, you think about what it's like if we were to run upon Satan in our flesh. He'd crush us like a worm. He would snatch us up like a fowl does a worm from the ground and eat it. He's a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And he may devour anybody that God allows him to. For he is a spiritual being. He is mighty compared to us as human creatures. We're nothing standing before him. Only by the power of God have we anything that we can do against Satan. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. We best remember that only way that we can war against Satan, even self-sin in the world, is through the Spirit of God and our warfare being mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that warfare, part of that is casting down imaginations in the next verse 5 of chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Casting down imaginations. I looked up that Greek word and the meaning of it is reasonings. Our reasonings, our in our minds and in our thinking, people of the world try to use reasoning powers to reason out things about this life and what's going on in it. But in our weapons of our warfare, which are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, one of them is our imaginations or our reasoning powers. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Those folks I've been working for, I won't say where, and some of you may know them, but they don't do things like we do. They don't go to a church like we teach here. But they are ignorant enough to ask questions. And that's all I need, somebody to ask me a question. I don't care about what. It hasn't got to be about the Bible, or it can be. It doesn't matter. Just ask me a question, and you just open the door for me to tell you about the truth of the Scriptures of God's Word. About the Christ Mass, and about the Ishtar, about Mother's Day, and about any other thing. I can tell you the truth about the Scriptures. And their response would be like, well, I just don't see anything wrong with it. I said, if the Bible doesn't say it, we don't do it. And we keep the Ten Commandments because that is the law of God that is written upon the tables of our heart when we've been redeemed, when we've been regenerated by the power of God. The Bible says He writes His laws upon the table. What laws is He writing if He's not writing the Ten Commandments?
Amen.
He writes those upon the tables of our heart. And one of those is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You'll keep the Sabbath day holy. We bring every thought into obedience of Christ. Every thought. Which means that keeps us on our toes as far as what we think. And if you listen, and I'm telling you what, if they knew how much I hated when they leave, or even when they're at home, they put their TV on gospel radio station of some kind, I don't. They play gospel music all day. Well, most of it's that country and western gospel music. If you couldn't hear the words that were being said, you would think, I'd go to two-stepping with it. You know how they do them two-stepping dancing? Because that's the kind of bebop, bam, bam music that's playing. And I'm in the back, I can hear the music, I can't understand the words, and I have to go in there and think, did they change the channel? Did they put that on country and western music? But then I'll hear one of them quartet singers singing some kind of gospel singing to it. Be careful what goes into your ears, because it's going to affect your thought patterns. Be careful what you hear, because it's going to affect what you think. Be careful what you see, because it's going to affect what you think. Be careful when you're on the internet that you're not slipping off into some ungodliness, because what you see is going to affect what you think. And we are to be bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ, our Lord, our King, our God. And all you have to do is read the book. And He will tell you. I told him our women don't speak in church. I said, what? I said, no. The Bible said, let a woman keep silent in church. The Bible says, not let a woman usurp, teach or usurp authority over the man. She said, yeah, I used to teach Sunday school, and still sometimes when there's not men there that can do it. I said, you can make any excuse you want. You do not have the right to usurp authority or to teach the men. That's just the way it is. Now, the men may need to own up and take responsibility for what God holds them accountable for. But the Bible says, let a woman not speak in the church.
Right.
That it's a shame for a woman as much as speak in the church. While we're worshiping God, the women are to keep silent in the church. Those are not my rules. Just read the book. Just read the book! It's in there. Just read the book. Now you can make excuses and wiggle and worm your way out of it if you want to. But as far as me and my house, we're going to do what the Scripture says. And all sorts of things that I'll tell them that we don't do and that we do, and they just don't understand. And I said, well, we go by what the Scripture says. That's all we can do. I mean, we could go along with the modern day churches of today, and I said, we'd probably have a lot more people coming to church if the preacher wasn't so hard-headed. And the elder, he's as hard-headed or more so than I am. So, what else are we going to do? If we're going to compromise that part of it, what else are we going to compromise?
That's
right. We might as well throw the book away and let's just have a social club. And we'll set up our own rules as we go along. But we have a confession of faith. The Apostle Paul once said, I have labored more than them all. Kind of sound like he was bragging, didn't it? He said, I've labored more than them all. Yet not I, he said, but the grace of God which was with me. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 10. I labored more than them all. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. By the grace of God, I am what I am, the Scripture says. David waxed greater and greater. For the Lord of hosts was with him. Let's turn there. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Let's start at verse 10 there. These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. And this is the number of the mighty men who David had, Josh being a Hachmonite, the chief of the captains. He lift up his spear against 300 slain by him at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, who was one with the three mighties. I will not have time to read all of these. Let me skip on down. I must have written the Scripture down or typed it. I didn't write it. I was typing incorrectly, because that was not, even though that is wonderful reading there, it's not the part that I thought. This is where he sent his men to get him some water, and then he poured it out. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, was the brother that was always wanting to kill somebody because they offended the king. Anyway, let me continue on. David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. And that was the only reason David increased and grew greater. The proud Jebusites cried out, "Thou shalt not come up hither." When he was trying to take Jerusalem, they cried out because they had their place where they were, had the high ground, and they cried out to David and said, "Thou shalt not come hither." But David took the castle of Zion, and in Psalm 115:1, referring to this, he said, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory." I got one more scripture, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. "For this cause," verse 14, "for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." When you read these things, you have to pay attention to who he's praying to. And he's praying to the Father. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." The Apostle Paul understood that we were nothing. We were worms. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge." That only comes from redemption. That only comes from regeneration.
That's right.
That doesn't come because you're smart or because you read something or because you understood some doctrine. That comes from regeneration. And by the way, I guess it's been wondered about through the ages, especially amongst Baptists, of what comes first, faith or regeneration, the new birth. What comes first, faith or regeneration? As far as I'm concerned, Jesus made it very clear when he told Nicodemus, "You must be born from above."
Amen.
Nicodemus, you cannot see, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God except ye be born from above. And Ephesians chapter 2 makes it very clear, "For ye are dead in your trespasses and sins." We are separated from God, alienated from Him. And Jesus said, "You cannot come to me except my Father, which is in heaven, draw ye."
That's right.
You must be born from above. You can know all the scripture you want. You can come to church every Sunday, every Lord's Day, but you must be born from above. And faith is the gift of God. "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Until a man is born spiritually, he's dead. Like Lazarus was in a grave. He cannot come to God. He's dead.
Amen.
He can't move. He can't do anything spiritual. He can't come to Christ. He can't come to the cross. He can't do anything. He's dead. But when he's regenerated, now he sees himself a sinner. Now he sees that I'm a worm. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I can't help me, Lord Jesus. And faith is given him to believe unto salvation. That's the way I understand the Scriptures to teach it. And that's what I believe. That's what I preach.
Amen.
Not unto us, O Lord. Oh, I forgot where I was reading that. Verse that Christ, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able. And in Isaiah 41:14, he made a promise. I will help thee. I will help thee according to the power that worketh in us. Because we're worms. We're nothing. We can do nothing without the Spirit of God in us.
Amen.
According to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. Unto him be glory. Because we can do nothing without him. It is all by Christ. So unto him be glory. In the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. A good place for us to stop in the Scriptures, where he says, Amen. Our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit that lives and abides within us. We thank you, Lord, for the power of God that works in us, for we are nothing. We are less than nothing. And we can do nothing without you. And we thank you that you help us. For without you, we can do nothing. Oh, Father, help us this week as we go throughout this week to work and to go about the chores and the cares of this life, the things that we have to do to provide for our families. Help us to be a good witness, O Lord. Work in us. Work through us. And help us always to remember, O Lord, and to remind ourselves constantly that we are nothing without you. But with you, and because of you, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And help us to do so in our own lives every day, O God. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed. The Lord bless you and keep you. And I pray.